Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This is so exciting for me. In just a moment, we're going to talk to the chief honcho of veterinary medicine who will make, she says, a very major announcement. Also, I want to talk about Uber Pets later in the show. It sounds like a good idea. As a part of the app for Uber, if you have a pet and you need to go to the veterinarian, maybe the dog groomer, you can order a ride that is guaranteed to take pets. But I think in some ways it's a ripoff, and I'll explain why. Also, I am tired of seeing dogs tied outside. You go, and I'm happy that more of us want to take our dogs more places. I get that. But you want to go to Starbucks or you're going to, I don't know, a local convenience store. You take your dog with you. You tie out your dog onto a parking sign, a parking meter, if there are any of those left, a fire hydrant. Well, fire hydrants dogs like, but, you know, is this a good idea? Actually, it's against the law in Chicago. I know that because I helped write that law, and I will explain why I am so opposed to all of you doing that. But first, Dr. Janet Donlan is the CEO of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Donlan, you and I have talked many times on the radio. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Steve. I am just thrilled to have this chance to talk with you today. And I'm particularly thrilled because I get to talk a lot about you today. And so that's fantastic.
Well, it's a little embarrassing, but this is, and what you're about to talk about is arguably the greatest honor of my career and one of the greatest honors of my life. And before you make the official announcement, we have to spend a lot of money here for the official announcement sounder. Are you ready for that? And then you can make the announcement.
Perfect.
Okay. So this is, we did not spend any money on this. All right. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boom! That's the official sounder. Now the announcement from Dr. Donlan.
Well, Steve, I am so thrilled to be talking about this year at our convention this summer in beautiful San Diego. Many, many members of the veterinary community are going to be coming together, all of the big thought leaders, our House of Delegates, board leaders, and some special award winners are going to be recognized. And what's particularly nice to be able to announce is we have a brand new award this year. It is the AVMA Excellence in Veterinary Media Award. And Steve, you are the inaugural winner. This is, again, a very special award. The very first time we've done it, we know that the media plays such a key role in making certain that all of our clients, all of our wonderful people who love animals, that they really understand about animals, understand about veterinarians, and the media plays such a key role in that. And there is no one that does it better than you. So congratulations, award winner.
Well, you know, you and I go back a ways, and the favorite story that I have about you is, I don't know how many years ago it was that Katrina hit New Orleans. And I thought, I need to do something about this. So we held a fundraiser for the shelter there that was devastated. It was absolutely destroyed. And I called it Mardi Gras. And I promoted it on this radio station on WGN, and we had, I don't know, 100, 200, I don't know, people in attendance. We put it together very quickly, and the place that we did it at no charge. And into the room walks Dr. Janet Donlan, and I was like, look who's here. So it's not only how many people are here, but it's who came and who cared. And the way in which you represent veterinary medicine and the American Veterinary Medical Association, and also, I must say, veterinary nurses and technicians, the entire profession, is something that I know, as long as I've known you, which could be 15, 20 years, you think about on a daily basis. And I am so grateful to get this honor period. But coming from the American Veterinary Medical Association, it's like I couldn't. This would be my dream come true if it were only something I dreamed about, and I never would have. And I know Dr. Marty Becker, a mutual friend of both of ours, had a lot to do with this. But jumping through hoops to get anything done at the AVMA is, you know, it's a big ship, is somewhat challenging. And the fact that you guys did this, but what's most important to me isn't only that I will be getting this honor, but it's the recognition of journalists who report appropriately about veterinary medicine, and also those who are, as our friend Dr. Shelley Rubin said, it's his line, it's not mine, our pets' second best friends, the veterinary team. And I think it's incredibly important because there's so much misinformation out there, so much disinformation out there today. People go to the internet, they go to Dr. Google, well-meaning, but nevertheless, they might not find what's right. And journalists who cover it in an appropriate way, from here on forward, you're going to be supporting those journalists. So I'm happy about that, too. So thank you. All of this blows me away.
Well, Steve, again, what you have just said just proves why you're getting this award. We have known each other for a long time. In fact, I have to tell your listeners here, you also won the 2002 Excellence, AVMA Excellence and Humane Award. I'm not so certain that we have that many people who have won two awards from the AVMA, and that shows what sort of person you are. You know, we exist and we love these critters. They mean so much in our lives, and anything we can do to lengthen that human-animal bond and the lifespan of our beloved pets is so important, and that takes good information. That takes the veterinarian, and it takes someone like you helping folks understand why is preventive care important, why is behavioral consultation important, and how about the public health aspects, the importance of keeping our pets healthy so we're healthy. And you do that so well, and it's so essential that I'm just thrilled. You just deserve this so much, and I'm particularly happy because I have known you for such a long time that for the first one to happen, for it to happen, and for it to be you, because you are so deserving.
Okay, she's making me cry as I sit in the studio. So thank you.
You deserve it. I'm just so thrilled.
Thank you. You mentioned preventive care, and while I have you on the phone, it happens to be February, which, of course, is Pet Dental Health Month. And, you know, there is some feeling out there by some people that our pets don't need these dentals all the time. So if you can explain, without being too technical, why what's in your pet's mouth matters, and the same is true in human beings, I'm told, what matters in their mouth really matters throughout the rest of their bodies as well.
You are just so right. Preventive care is exactly what we want to do because it is the quality of the life that, of course, we want for our beloved pets. The teeth are very important to that. And unfortunately, if you don't take care of them, bacteria can develop. You get periodontal disease, and that does spread. It spreads and has effects for the entire body. So good preventive care, if you can brush their teeth every day, dental once a year, work with your veterinarian, work with your veterinary technician. They'll really help you out. It's just a critically important thing to do to make sure that your pet who loves you so much gets the care that they need.
And it's another reason why, and I know you guys say visit the veterinarian once a year, and I disagree. I think twice a year. And it's not only for senior pets. I think it should be for all pets because some of those changes occur pretty quickly. Remember, pets age differently than we do. So if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, but you have to kind of stop and think about it. And you can't prevent problems if you don't see the pet. Even the best veterinarian on the planet cannot help a pet that he or she is not seeing.
Oh, you're exactly right. When you know the clients come in with their pets, we like to see if there's any changes, any weight gain, any weight loss, any slowness of gait, all of those things you can pick up on an exam. And it's critically important because the earlier we intervene, what a difference it makes. And so I'm with you. Twice a year is a very good thing. I have a beloved Sheltie that I'm always taking pictures of. And that little rascal, I am trying to stay on top of it. And as a veterinarian, when you're busy, you still can be missing things like that with your own pet. And it's important that I even think about twice a year really paying special attention to that sort of thing. So it's true for all of our beloved critters.
And getting back to dental health, you don't know that a tooth might be cracked, for example. I mean, you as the pet, even the most caring Sheltie person, and you're a veterinarian, but what you cannot do in your kitchen, I don't believe, Dr. Donlan, are x-rays on your dog. You know, so a veteran going to the actual veterinary clinic really can matter. And our dogs don't always, and especially our cats don't tell us if they're uncomfortable or worse, even in pain.
You're exactly right. It's amazing how stoic they can be. And when we go in there and start working on their teeth, what is going on in there and how we have to take care of that. And so better off ounce of prevention. And so February is a great month to get in there.
Now, there's one other topic I know you wanted to talk about. And in all honesty, I've been so touched by all of this. I don't remember what that is.
So it's the Australian wildfires.
Oh, yes. So thank you. So the American Veterinary Medical Foundation and American Veterinary Medical Association have really stepped up for colleagues in Australia, and things have gotten a little bit better there in some ways. But in other ways, these animals still need to be reintroduced back and cared for before they're reintroduced back. So can you tell us what you are doing about that?
Exactly. So through the American Veterinary Medical Foundation, we've had a fundraising effort going on, and we have raised $150,000 to date.
Wow.
Our colleagues are putting that money to good use, but we're thrilled that we have a matching grant through the BCA Charitable Fund. Well, they will match up to $50,000. We are presently $25,000 into that, which means there's another $25,000 that we'd love to raise. And our colleagues just really need it. When you hear the stories, it can break your heart and also bring a smile to your face because of the difference they're making. And in our news cycles that can be ever-changing, we can forget about Australia. And so if folks could go to www.avmf.org, it's very easy to donate as part of that matching grant program, and you'd be really making a difference.
That's AVMF. As American Veterinary Medical Foundation.org. For more information about the American Veterinary Medical Association, it's avma.org. Dr. Janet Donlan, I don't even know how to say it, except thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, I want to say to your listeners, there are certain people that you know are making such a difference in the lives of animals, and you, my dear friend, are definitely one of them. Very high on my list, who I value every day, and you're just making my day that you're going to be getting this special award. I thank you for all you do and all you do for our beloved animals.
Wow. Thank you. That is incredibly humbling. I mean, the CEO of the American Veterinary Medical Association even knows who I am, you know? I mean, of course, I've known, as we talked about, Dr. Donlan for many years, and I'm shivering now, you know, and this is crazy. It's crazy. I'm just the guy who does radio and writes about pets and talks at veterinary conferences, and it's just incredible. But has strong feelings about some things, and I do. So this is an all-too-common sight in Chicago, some of the suburbs, and really all over the country, where you see a dog that's tied out, and I mean literally the leash is tied around a bicycle rack or tied around a no parking sign or tied around a fire hydrant or something. And you go inside. You leave your dog outside, and you go inside to get some coffee or to pick up a six-pack or whatever it is, right? You're running an errand. Dogs aren't allowed inside. You tie out the dog outside. So what's my problem with that? Well, let me offer a list. First of all, dogs can be stolen, and they are. It doesn't happen every day, happily, but what if it does happen to you, and people think it's not going to happen to me, and it probably won't, but it does happen to someone. These dogs are periodically stolen and then resold and sometimes even used as bait dogs in dog fighting, to train dog fighting dogs, which is horrific in itself. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, to subject your dog potentially to have that happen, if that were the end of it, that would be enough. But how about weather? We live in Chicago. Have you noticed? But anywhere, you know, it could be too hot or too cold. And most of these dogs that I've seen tied outside, not all of them, but the overwhelming majority are crying or barking or both. They're not happy out there. They're not happy because you're gone. The owner is gone. But they're not happy because they may be cold, shivering, you know, maybe raining or snowing, or maybe the sun is beating down on them, you know. So people love their dogs. And they don't think about it. They want to be. You want to be with your dog. I love that. I love that. But you can't always. And it's better not to take your dog with you than to do that. Oh, but that's not all, though. There's more to it. So what if someone comes up and pets your dog? Right? Well, your dog is anxious. Your typically friendly dog and goes to snap at someone. Or maybe your dog never even did that, and someone says, your dog bit me. You see the mark here, and you don't see any mark, and then sues you, because anybody can sue anybody for anything. And there was no witness. Again, that doesn't happen every day, but it really does happen. Or dogs somehow get loose. So even if you were in the Navy and knew how to do one of those triple something-something knots, and you tie the triple something-something knot around a post, like a parking sign or something— dogs do get loose, and when they get loose, they run off sometimes and sometimes get hit by cars. That really can happen. Or your dog just drinks from the puddle that's nearby. What's wrong with that? Well, and they're more likely to get thirsty because they're so anxious. So when dogs get really anxious, they pant more and they get thirsty. So your dog is even more likely to want that water in the puddle of water. Well, that's where leptospirosis, a bacterial infection, can be found. Now, if your dog is vaccinated against lepto, as all dogs, I think, or most dogs in the city should be, you're probably protected. But many dogs aren't vaccinated, unfortunately. So if your dog is not vaccinated, drinking from that puddle, so an infected animal like a city rat or other animals as well, even squirrels, can piddle in a puddle, maybe even an infected dog can urinate in that puddle at some point, and now your dog is drinking from it. So aside from being gross, your dog could get leptospirosis, and leptospirosis potentially can be deadly, and potentially we can get. So human beings can get. It's called the zoonotic disease. There are just so many reasons why dogs should not be tied out. I think the biggest reason of all is most dogs are really unhappy about it. And to me, that matters a whole lot. I am so happy that Uber now has. So you're waiting for an Uber. You can go to a special section in their app and say, I want Uber Pets. And previously, some drivers would pull up and say, oh, you have a dog? Forget about it. I'm allergic. I don't want dogs. I don't want hair in my car, whatever. Now, these drivers have presumably agreed to drive pets. That's good. But here's what's not so good, in my opinion. Uber is charging an extra $6 for each of those Uber pet rides. Why? Because they want to make money, I guess. But I mean, why? The driver doesn't need to do anything or put in more effort. One could argue that, well, what if the dog eats the car, you know, destroys part of the car, has an accident from one end to the other? Well, according to the contract of using Uber pets, if something like that happens, you're responsible for the repair cost. I suppose that's fair. I don't know that I have a problem with that. But the $6 charge doesn't go to that. The $6 charge is even a $6 charge if you have a cat in a carrier. You know, I mean, what's that cat doing? Maybe meowing every now and again? I mean, there's no extra effort or cost involved for the driver, and the driver is not benefiting. And I would argue that previously, if I wanted a ride because I need to go to the veterinarian and I don't have a car, And the best way to do it is to use Uber. And a driver comes, and I'm standing there with my dog, and a driver comes and says, yeah, I don't mind taking a dog or a cat. And you're appreciative. You might tip the driver. You might be more likely to tip a driver if you typically don't tip Uber or Lyft. Well, now you might because you appreciate what the driver did. In this case, the driver's not getting the $6. The company is. So, and maybe you're less likely to tip the driver because you know you paid an extra $6. So I don't believe that this benefits anyone except the company itself. And it's a way to make money and kind of take advantage of pet owners. And of course, I never appreciate anyone taking advantage of pet owners. Email me, steve@stevedale.tv. If you have a question, dear Steve, I've heard of dogs knowing when their people are coming home. They can sense it. What about my cat? Wonder Charlotte. Well, Jeepers seems to know, she says, when my husband is about to arrive. Well, Charlotte, I have an answer for you. I assume that your shades are closed and you're not cueing your cat in some way because you know your husband has just pulled up and your cat is simply watching your response. I believe that dogs really can somehow, some way, in ways we do absolutely not understand, predict when their people are coming home. And there's even scientific evidence to demonstrate that. So if dogs can do it, my response is, why not cats? You can email me any questions you have about your pet's behavior, steve@stevedale.tv. So there are several states that have said, we ban dogs and cats being sold at pet stores. We just don't allow it anymore. Now, in Illinois, we have 13 cities that have said this, and my hope, personally, is that Illinois will be the next state. And meanwhile, the bad guys, the pet store industry, and they should not be bad guys. I love the pet store industry in theory. I mean, they supply all those things our pets need, including food. But should they be supplying pets? No, because no responsible breeder ever sells to a pet store. And I don't appreciate keeping puppy mills in business. I don't think that's a good thing at all. So three states, Maine, California, and Maryland, have said no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. And then Maryland was challenged in court. A federal judge has now dismissed that court challenge to Maryland's landmark law prohibiting the sales of puppies and kittens in pet stores. Currently across the country, about 300 communities from Albuquerque to Pittsburgh to right here in Chicago, most recently Naperville, Illinois, right here, have said no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. U.S. District Judge Ellen Hollander, who denied the plaintiff's request for a preliminary injunction blocking the law's enforcement in Maryland, said she found ample evidence that state lawmakers had a rational basis for enacting the Maryland Pet Store Statute, and it holds. And I'm so glad about that.